Welcome into the show on this Monday. And no fly zone continues to be the thing that Vladimir Zelensky is asking for over Ukraine. And it appears that we're not necessarily calling it a no fly zone, but we're ready to send as many jets as possible to this crisis. We'll bring you up to date on what's happening right now in Ukraine.
And the energy crisis persists. Is it because of Ukraine? Is it not? It was already pretty bad, you guys, if you rewind the tape about 3 months. So we're going to talk about, is there an end in sight for the pain at the pump?
And more fake news than we can handle this morning. It's really interesting to kind of weed through all of the propaganda that's being foisted upon the American people, the Ukrainian people, the Russian people. What is truth? A lot of the famous sound bites that we've heard from coming out of Vladimir Zelensky's mouth turns out are not accurate, not true at all. So we're going to go through a lot of that and more as Morning Invest starts right now.
Welcome to your week, everybody. It's Monday. We're kicking off the show with a five-day work week, and we're going to try and break down the conflict in geopolitics and global politics and how it affects you. Remember, you can follow along or do your reading before the show or after. It's fine with us, too. We have a free newsletter. It's morninginvest.com. Subscribe, tell your friends about it, and let us know what you think. We love seeing your responses.
That's right. Great newsletter. It's delivered to your inbox first thing in the morning, around 6:30 in the morning, covering some of the biggest stories of the day. One of the things, of course, we were covering in the newsletter this morning is all about Russian censorship and control of state media. Another area that we've been looking at is oil and gas prices right now. We're going to get to all of that. But I want to start today with the no-fly zone, because this all weekend was a topic of hot conversation on the Sunday shows. You heard from Marco Rubio. We heard from Secretary of State Anthony Blinken about this. So what is this idea of the no-fly zone, right? I mean, we've had a no-fly zone over Disney World for a long time, right? We've had no-fly zones going back to the Iraq War, the Gulf War, the idea that, hey, if you launch an aircraft, we're going to shoot it out of the sky. So Vladimir Zelensky, once again this weekend, calling for a no-fly zone. Please, NATO, come here. Help us get a no-fly zone put in place, because we need your help to make sure that our people on the ground are being protected. Now, of course, a no-fly zone would essentially lead to World War III. The United States puts in a no-fly zone. NATO puts in a no-fly zone. Then what happens? We start shooting down Russian aircraft. We're involved in World War III. Make no mistake about it.
Yes. As recently as November, the United States has confirmed that Russia has been working on nuclear warheads that can reach cross-continent. We know this. It was confirmed by satellite images in, I want to say, October or November. So remember what kind of repercussion Russia will use if NATO and the U.S. starts to shoot down its military planes, right? So the problem is, we're all good about a no-fly zone in theory, but we cannot enforce it without backlash. That is very dangerous.
Well, and Marco Rubio was asked this question this weekend when he was on one of the Sunday shows. He was on that CNN show, and Jake Tapper asked him about this idea of no-fly zones. You were just on a phone call with Vladimir Zelensky. What did he ask for? What are you guys going to do? And here's what Marco Rubio had to say about it.
Thanks so much for joining us. So you and this bipartisan group of lawmakers had this Zoom call with President Zelensky yesterday. What was the meeting like? What message did he have for you?
Well, I think he reiterated the same points he's been making repeatedly to the public. You know, obviously they want to get more aircraft, which I think the United States is supportive of and countries are willing to do. There's complications that come with it. It's not just as easy as handing it over. You got to fly those in. You got to station them somewhere on the ground. And as you saw this morning, the Russians have launched a pretty anywhere in between 8 to 12 rockets at an airport in the sort of west of Ukraine. And that's just a part of a strategy to deny them places to move that airframe. So one thing is having the planes, and then another thing is being able to use them. Those things require munitions, and you also have to be able to shoot a fly them and not get shot down. Now, that said, the Russian Air Force had a pretty bad day yesterday, too. So neither side really has any sort of air superiority right now. But look, I'm for it. I just want everyone to understand that it's not a magic solution. There are complications that come with it.
I mean, so this idea that, like, we're just going to keep, so we're not going to call it a no-fly zone. We won't actually go into war with Russia, the United States, NATO, et cetera. We'll just continue to funnel as much money and missiles and weapons as possible. We're sending aircraft now to this region, sending jets so that you guys can jump in these jets and utilize our aircraft. Here you go. Here are the keys. We're going to land them for you. Make sure you fill it up.
Here you go, buddy. Wax it later.
Yeah, but make sure you fill this up and return it when you're done.
And we're completely sure that they have personnel who knows how to use this.
No, that's the point. A lot of these aircraft, by the way, might not even be usable by them because the training involved in these Soviet era aircraft are not necessarily, they're not up to snuff on some of the training of these
they Soviet can't just run a aircraft. Training program like in the Matrix.
No, it's not like every aircraft is the same. You know, it's not like, I guess, you
like
know,
an
a movie,
80s like, montage. Da, da, yeah. Da, da,
da. Where you're just like reading the manual.
Right. Yeah. Where are the Wolverines?
Yeah. Hold on. America.
I mean, it's not like in the movies where like, hey, do you know how to fly one of these things? I don't know. Let me figure this out. We'll find out. Whoa. I guess I do know how to. I got the hang of it now. I mean, this is not like kids playing in the backyard kind of stuff. But for us, it is. We're going to continue to shovel as much money as possible to this region. I think it's interesting, though, what's happening with NATO, because reports this morning are pretty stunning about France. So if NATO gets dragged into this, World War III, guys. I mean, make no mistake about this. That's why France this morning, France's left-wing leader, Jean-Luc, how do you say his last name? Mélenchon, is openly calling for leaving NATO, stating that the warmongering U.S.-led military cartel is useless and creates tensions everywhere. This is France.
I agree 100%.
I do too. I mean, if a European country could challenge NATO, it'd be France, which temporarily left NATO in the 1960s. I mean, he's calling for, like, let's get out. Let's get out because this warmongering NATO, and that's exactly, make no mistake about it, guys. We're not there in war. Like, the United States is not in war, but all of the money, all of the Javelin missiles, all of the military industrial complex stuff that we're shoveling to them is right there. And the Secretary of State is falling lockstep in this as well.
Well, and before you move to that, mm-hmm. I saw that they're also proposing to send them $10 billion. Like, the U.S. people didn't get help during the pandemic, but boy, when there's a war, we can just shovel all this money over there, not including the war budget. Outside of that, another $10 billion for the Ukrainian people.
Yeah, we're going to be talking about that coming up here on the show because, I mean, just the thought about $10 billion. Also, I said to Natalie this morning about that piece of, like, on the Afghanistan front, like, wait a minute, we seized $9 billion of Afghanistan's money, average citizens from Afghanistan, and these people can't open their businesses, can't do anything. We keep that money. And these people are suffering after we bombed their country for 20 years. But we're going to just shovel $10 million, right? $10 billion to the Ukrainians? And to do what with? But what are we going to do with that? I mean, we'll get to that in a little bit later in the show. But here is Secretary of State Antony Blinken on this sanctions issue, or I mean, providing money and resources to Ukraine.
Longer than they've ever been. But the U.S. still has not moved as quickly as the EU has on sanctions against the Russian political elite. I mean, the Duma, the National Security Council, the cabinet, their families, the top 100 oligarchs. The U.S. has not banned imports of Russian oil. The U.S. has not rolled out trade sanctions. We're still working with the Russians on the Iran deal. Why not do everything we can now? Well, Speaker Pelosi said she's willing to cut off all imports of Russian oil.
We're adding to the sanctions virtually every day. We're doing it in coordination with Europeans. When there's a difference between us, if there's a loophole on one side or the other, we're closing it. That's part of the work that I was doing here. And when it comes to oil, Russian oil, I was on the phone yesterday with the president and other members of the cabinet on exactly this subject. And we are now talking to our European partners and allies to look in a coordinated way at the prospect of banning the import of Russian oil while making sure that there is still an appropriate supply of oil on world markets. That's a.
So, okay, let's just break this down in a way that we can understand. There is no way to offer sanctions or to impose sanctions that doesn't hurt people who are not involved in the war. And so they're trying to dumb it down like, well, we're just going to keep, you know, putting these like red flags all over so it hurts them, right? But those things eventually hurt us, which is why we cannot impose unilateral sanctions. It's an idea that's antiquated. You can't just ground someone that's not your child, right? It's like going out and you don't like what your neighbor's doing and you ground your neighbor. Like, you don't have the rights to do all of that.
Well, and one of the problems with it is that the people don't see that as, like, they don't think that that's violent. Like, well, at least we're not going to war. At least we're not going over there and killing people. So let's just put a bunch of sanctions on them. And that's an easier narrative to sell than a war.
Right.
Yeah. And because it doesn't hit most of it. Well, it doesn't hit us necessarily, right?
Yes. Right. Yeah. And it's just, it's overly simplifying how complicated global economics truly is and how interdependent we all are. And so you can't really hurt anyone without hurting yourself. It just doesn't exist anymore. This morning in one of my mom's groups, like on WhatsApp, some of the moms were like, well, McDonald's and Coca-Cola have not pulled out of Russia yet. So we should boycott them. And I was like, well, first of all, maybe we're all better off boycotting those. I don't spend money at either of those places.
Yeah, couldn't we have banned them for food quality before Russia got involved?
Right. We need a war to stop eating McDonald's.
Right.
Like, you know, like.
But there are people who legitimately, you know, depend on cheaply subsidized food to eat and live who would suffer from those places shutting down in this, maybe not Coke, but, you know, people who like depend on cheaply subsidized food who are we hurting here? And what it doesn't make sense to. I'm so perplexed by this, like, oversimplification of economics that you think you can just throw out in a chat that would make any kind of difference in the world. It's just, that's not how it works. It's too complicated.
No, and anytime you turn into a woke person, right, there's always hypocrisy follows, right? Company wants to suddenly start saying, you know, we're now going to change the name of our Russia-centric food items on our menu because we stand with Ukraine, right?
Right.
Oh, okay, great. I'm glad you're so woke that you're changing the name on your menu about a food item. Meanwhile, you still source your diamonds from blood diamond mines, or, you know, whatever. It's always a huge pile of hypocrisy for these companies.
Well, and I still think it's a huge pile of hypocrisy that they don't put the same weight on what the U.S. does. It's like we can go do whatever we want in any country and they keep our stuff on the shelves. It's like, why don't we take the log out of our own eye before we try to take the splinter out of somebody else's?
Well, we don't make that much. The thing we export the most is culture. Food,
right? Like, but I'm just saying, like, nobody's saying ban McDonald's or anything because it's a U.S. company.
No, but I do like, you know, I do like this French politician, you know, saying, hey, this U.S. led, you know, NATO force is useless and it creates tensions everywhere. Let's get out of this thing. Like, what is France actually doing to be a part of this thing? Let's leave this.
But this is an indication that European countries that are part of NATO may not be able to put their money where their mouth is when it comes to wartime. But it's like, did you not read the NATO manual or the NATO history book? NATO was created to push back on Russia. So if you weren't really ready to do that, you shouldn't have been in anyway. And maybe that, you know, you shouldn't have joined. Maybe you should have understood what it was for. Like, it's crazy to think of it this way, that like all of a sudden we're surprised that NATO forces want a war with Russia.
Yeah. We're going to talk more about this energy crisis and the latest on the idea of oil sanctions, because this is a big deal. We're going to get there in just a second, and what this means for the broader war impacting you at the gas pumps and so forth. And plus what Congress is doing this week, because they've got a budget they have to try to pass by Friday.
Oh, that.
Yeah, a little $1.5 trillion budget. Can they get it done? And we're going to talk about some of the sticking points in here, too, which are kind of laughable.
Don't worry. The war and our involvement on it is going to go forward dependent on whether or not we shut down the government. Like, our government shutdown will only affect Americans.
Yeah.
We'll still push the money into war.
Yeah, don't worry about that. Don't worry about that. But first, let me tell you about our friends over at Movement and their fantastic lineup of watches and glasses. I love their sunglasses, by the way. This company, Movement, started in a tiny apartment in Southern California. Two college dropouts teamed up to create a watch company that broke all of the rules with fair prices, unexpected colors, clean original designs. The Movement grew into one of the fastest growing watch brands. They shipped to 160 countries across the globe. Now they've expanded into their blue light glasses. And their blue light glasses protect your eyes from screens, you know, at nighttime, you know, natural circadian rhythms, right? As the sun is going down, so should our bodies. The problem is we stay awake with screens. We sit there on iPads and phones and all that kind of stuff. And that's where these blue light glasses really can help us ease into the night. And they look fantastic as well because they block those harmful lights, that light source from your eyes, and helps you fall asleep, nice and quietly. I'm a big fan of their glasses. You know, if you and my son, we got my daughter a pair of the blue light glasses as well. Really, really great, so that they're not altering their body's chemistry as they're trying to get ready for bed. If you spend a lot of time in front of these screens, it's really, really good. Now, if you want to elevate your look and style, it doesn't break the bank, then join the movement. Get 15% off today with free shipping, free returns. They have unbeatable price points. I mean, they've got watches right now that have the look and feel of $400 to $500 watches. And you pay at a fraction of those costs. I mean, they're really, really affordable. Join the movement and get 15% off today with free shipping, free returns by going to mvmt.com/invest. That's mvmt.com/invest to get 15% off. Hey, Mother's Day, Father's Day coming up. Good opportunity to check them out.
That's right. I'll take some of those with the little hot for teacher look.
Yeah.
When I do the show, we'll try it.
I like the hot for teacher look. All right, let's talk about this energy crisis a little bit more deeply now, because if you look at the potential for the United States to push oil sanctions and say we're done with Russian oil, it appears that the United States this morning is more willing than ever to say we are done with our dependency on Russian oil imports. From both sides of the aisle. I mean, we hear from Marco Rubio, we hear from the White House on this issue, but the European Union is not necessarily on board with this. But here's what Marco Rubio had to say yesterday about saying no more to Russian oil imports. And by the way, just so you know, if you're looking at gas prices today, like we're still taking oil from Russia.
Yes.
Like this is not, your gas prices that you're seeing today have nothing really at all to do with the euro crisis and what's happening in the Ukraine. This is totally separate. You can blame OPEC and you can blame inflation and supply and demand issues. It has nothing to do with what's happening with Russia. But here's Marco Rubio. Listen.
Secretary of State Blinken just told me that the Biden administration is seriously discussing it. Americans are already dealing with high gas prices. Should they prepare for that to get even worse in order to stand up to Putin?
Well, first of all, let me just say that the fact that people believe that not buying Russian oil, not having Russian oil would raise our gas prices is actually very concerning, because that proves that Putin has the leverage and the power over America to raise our gas prices anytime he wants. So we shouldn't allow that to continue. We should not allow Vladimir Putin to have the power at any moment to raise gas prices on Americans by cutting us off at some point now or in the future. So we should cut him off now and replace it with American oil and have a buffer in between the time that that production starts up and the time and that we make the cutoff, and we can use our strategic reserves for that. That's what I hope we will do. I hope that's where the administration's headed, but it makes no sense whatsoever to continue to buy oil from Russia that they use to fund this war and this murderous campaign that they're undertaking.
That was a really stupid thing to say. Hmm. How do you work out that Vladimir Putin has control over supply and demand? I can't follow that. Can you?
No. I mean, I don't follow much that Marco Rubio has to say.
It's just hyperbole. That's how they sell the war.
But it's also oversimplification, you guys. This is the problem with all of these talking points, is that none of it is this simple, right? So, okay, here are the facts. National average price for regular gasoline hit $4 a gallon this weekend. That's the highest price since 2008. Price per barrel is now $130 per barrel, also a high since 2008. So, you know, economists were excited that we were heading into this recovery, this economic recovery, but we never got out of the gas shortage and the gas crunch and the price, and the demand is still high, right? So this is my problem with the news, is that we're like, well, if we just punish this person and this person and this person, that will make it better for me. No man is an island. Economics doesn't exist in a vacuum. So punishing those people is going to make this already energy crisis harder on all of us. And there is no discussion about how we all change our lives from expecting to live in a life in a world where geopolitics hurts us, decisions by people outside of our control hurt us, and we continue to expect the same result. That's crazy on our part. And we were talking about this on Friday, how, yeah, we can say politicians are doing bad things to us, you know, they're ruining the earth and all kinds of things. But if we don't take that as a clue in our lives to make some kind of change, isn't that on all of us?
Well, Elon Musk says that we need to make a change. He calls on Europe and all of us to restart nuclear power plants. He calls on the United States to boost oil and gas output immediately. And, you know, I saw someone in the chat, I think Edward Smith, saying Biden wants $10 gas, so it forces us to use our bicycles. But I think all of these things are interconnected to what Natalie's saying here, right? Like, we need to do all of these things, right? We need to ride our bikes more. We need to not be using gas-guzzling cars. We need to also be using the safe nuclear power plants. You know, the thing is that most people have this, are operating under a 1970s fallacy about nuclear power. And the fact of the matter is, as Elon Musk talks about, as Jack Dorsey talks about, nuclear power production now is incredibly safe. I mean, really safe. In fact, one of the safest forms of production. So we have this sort of 1970s mentality about the
fallout. In fact, yeah.
Yeah, the Chernobyl, now they're much smaller, way safer. I mean, we don't have these issues at all. So he has, in fact, he's going so far as to say, hey, guess what? If you think that there's like radiation in these areas, I will actually fly to, here's what Elon Musk says. Hopefully it's now extremely obvious that Europe should restart dormant nuclear power stations. He's specifically calling on Germany, which shut down all of them, and increase output of existing ones. This is critical to national and international security. Then he goes on to say, for those who mistakenly think that this is a radiation risk, pick what you think is the worst location in the world. I will travel there and I will eat locally grown food live on television. I did this in Japan many years ago, shortly after Fukushima. Radiation risk is much, much lower than most people believe. And here's a guy who studies this ad nauseum. Right. But here's a guy who pushing for, obviously, electric power, right? This is he's Tesla guy, yeah. Right? And he's calling on the world to say, we need to increase nuclear production and we need to open up more drilling right now.
Well, nuclear power has the like fear factor attached mm-hmm. to it, right? But actually, if you add up all of the accidents and fatalities, coal, petroleum, and natural gas and hydroelectricity have each caused more fatalities per energy unit due to pollution and accidents than nuclear. But we don't know that. Those of us who are not scientists.
Right. The nuclear technology has gotten a lot better since also. I mean, we're talking about, you know, the way they used to build it was way different. They can contain it way better now.
Oh, yeah. There's multiple layers of containment. And so, yeah, I mean, it's totally different than it was in the 1970s when you had Three Mile Island, you know, of course, going back to Chernobyl, right? So, you know, it's totally different. And as Elon Musk talks about, way safer.
Okay, I must know. Are you saying nuclear as a joke, David? Like when
George
you
W. Blair?
Yeah, when you say it, are you saying it just to make us laugh, or are you? Is that really how you say it?
Good question.
I don't know how I just said it.
Because every time you say it, I'm like, is he messing with me?
That's always a safe assumption. Just assume that he's messing with
nuclear.
Okay. Yes, nuclear. But that's not how you say it.
He likes to hop back and forth. Okay. No, you're right about that. I'm like,
you are adding the extra U in there.
Nuclear.
Yeah,
you say
goes.
That every
right.
time, and I'm just
nuclear.
Wondering if it's like, you know,
yeah,
like
he's
a
doing
joke.
It the George W. Bush way.
Yeah, I learned everything I know from him. So
okay,
fool me once, Natalie. Shame
I know,
on
I know. Because if it's a joke, I just want in on it. Because otherwise, every time you say it, I'm like.
Well, it was, I remember when he did, I think it was the State of the Union when like Bush went off on it and he just kept saying nuclear. And I was like, if you have the power to launch the things, you got to be able to pronounce it correctly.
Yeah.
And I was like, that's like one of my, like, I have very few requirements in life, but if you can launch a nuclear bomb, you have to be able to say nuclear.
But David gets a pass because he does not have the codes or the button.
I don't know.
Well, but he does.
That you know of.
No, that exactly. He does press buttons.
It's still on thin ice, but yeah, a slight pass.
But David does buy gas. What's the price of gas where you are right now? You're up in Pacific
it's
Northwest, right?
$4.65 the last time I went to the gas station.
Wow, that is a lot.
I mean, look at the futures this morning, Brent crude oil futures this morning. And I was watching the tickers this morning as the markets opened. And I heard one analyst say it's almost like a meme stock. People thought it was like GameStop or AMC this morning. As the look at the price of Brent crude skyrocketing like a GameStop stock.
Yeah.
I mean, that's how much prices are off the charts right now.
How much of this is a manipulation by the actual gas station, though? Because I literally went 30 minutes away to Camas to get my haircut and it was $3.65 there, a dollar difference. Like, how can it be a dollar difference 30 minutes away?
And yes, there is some of that. There are price gouging that certainly happens and crops up. Most of the time, that's not the case.
Yeah, and a lot of times gas companies will be a loss leader in order to, you know, hope that you buy things inside the store.
And they make very little on gas.
Yeah.
You know, they make like 5 cents or some. It's actually pretty ridiculously low.
Yes.
They hope you go in there and buy Slim Jims.
Yeah. They don't make a lot of, I don't think they do a lot of price surging around gas. There's a lot of laws around it. I remember studying this in business school.
But it could hit $185 to $200 a barrel under this scenario if we ban Russian oil imports in the United States without any participation by European allies. Germany this morning saying, we're not going to do it. So Europe, which had an opportunity, by the way, to ban or their, you know, move way more towards renewables, move off of their dependency of Russian oil.
The whole world, though, has had that opportunity.
Yeah,
though.
And they have these set on their hands and they've not done it right now. It's $140 a barrel right now.
I just want to say those American values better mean a lot to all of you.
What do you mean? Like,
our oil prices are going up and everything because, or gas prices, mm-hmm. because we're, you know, pushing American values, like we're fighting for those. Yeah.
Right,
so
but
hard.
that extends, you know, those organic Mexican blueberries that you like to buy wrapped in plastic will also cost more to ship you, and cost more to grow, you know, because of the tractors also need gas. So everything is going to be more expensive. So again, if you're not looking around your life and thinking like what here is dependent, like what in my kitchen that I eat every day is dependent on geopolitics, everything yeah. is. Right? And so all of us have to look inside our lives and think, what would I do if I couldn't buy my organic gallons of coconut oil at Costco? Would I be able to make changes in my life? Can I do it now? What does that look like? Because I do think we're at a pivotal point in Western world where the lives as we know it will not be facilitated just by this kind of geopolitical and ecological crisis that we're in.
Right.
I'm ready for it. I'm always ready for it. Well, I know I just say this all the time.
Sometimes we need a catalyst, right? And this could be the catalyst, maybe. We thought maybe the pandemic might have been the catalyst, but we went the opposite direction, didn't we? And during the pandemic, now everything is individually wrapped because we can't touch a group of things. So now every little item is individually wrapped in plastic.
Yeah.
I used the line from Airplane, I picked the wrong week. And I'm like, I picked the wrong week to start an all-meat diet. Because meat yes. is so expensive. And I went and got raw milk. Yeah. My gallon of raw milk is $17.
Whoa. Oh, my God. Wow.
It's cheaper to go buy the cow.
Yeah, it probably would be.
You know?
But the thing is, especially because meat, mass-produced meat is fed grain, right? And that's terrible for the earth. It's terrible for the way that the cows release methane. And it's terrible for the planet in general. So these like high meat diets also have a consequence. And
I get mine from ButcherBox, which is sustainably sourced.
Oh, they're pasture raised.
Yeah,
that's awesome. But yeah. Then you pay a little bit more for that. But
I do.
You know,
I don't mind that.
Real price of it. Yeah, well, I do the same as I look for.
Well, and what's funny is I went to the grocery store and I was like, I'm just going to get a couple of these cheaper steaks over here in the meat section. So I got some of those, and eating those compared to a grass fed cow, it tastes so chemically. I couldn't believe how much the difference was. Like, I was like, I can't eat this.
Disgusting.
Yeah.
Disgusting.
And we buy all of our dairy from the Azores, where all the cows are pasture fed as well.
But you saw this stuff like at Walmart. You go into Walmart and get a thing of ground beef, right? Get a pound of ground beef from Walmart. Look at the label and you'll notice that it comes from three or four different sources. China. Remember the time we looked at the Walmart and we looked at that pound of ground beef and it said it came like it was all chopped up and put in one. Argentina,
mm-hmm.
China,
yeah,
and like Puerto Rico.
All, gross.
Like, think about the global footprint or the carbon footprint of trying to get ground beef from these three different sources into one package of meat and then flown into Pennsylvania on top of it. Like, where we were, it wasn't China.
No.
So that's a fourth location to get this one package of crap. And then it was cheap, of course.
Yeah.
You know, who knows that's a big thing, too. Like, we ship a lot of our chicken over to China to be seasoned and processed and shipped back. And it's supposedly cheaper than doing it here in the U.S. Like, that's crazy to me that our food gets shipped overseas and then shipped back. And we think that it's perfectly refrigerated.
Well, that's a problem. Yeah. The whole sort. I mean, we do that with electronics as well, right? They're instead of having, you know, having them be built here, we have to go, we have to send them to India or send them to someplace else and ship them back in order to put these things together. It's ridiculous. We've got more news to get to here on the show. We're going to talk about the hypocrisy right now. What's going on with Israel and bombs falling overnight, even Israel still attacking certain countries. So all of this Ukraine drama is sort of unfolding through the lens of the Palestinian-Israeli conflict as well. We're going to talk about that. And more fake news, a big pile of fake news as it relates to Ukraine this morning we're going to go through. But first,
we'll tell you about our show sponsor over at Grammarly. If you would like to learn to spell nuclear or nuclear or nuclear, Grammarly may not help you pronounce it, but it will help you spell it. When you're thinking about presenting yourself out in the world through your digital communications, you need Grammarly. Grammarly will help you not just spell and grammar check, but also help you as a writing tool to make sure that you are clearly and effectively communicating your ideas. Grammarly can also check for tone to make sure that you would like to, I don't know, use maybe a more formal or a less formal type of communication with whoever you're writing. Grammarly is a free download and it's easy to integrate into your life. It works wherever you work. It works beautifully in Gmail with a simple plugin. It works in Google Docs with a plugin and all other types of text edit experiences. Grammarly helps you to be clear and assertive. It helps with your tone. It helps with your word choice. And again, it just helps you present yourself in a better, more concise way. But then obviously it's going to catch those, the one it's putting there, effect or effect. That one always gets me too. Every time. But I'm glad for Grammarly when it catches me trying to use the wrong one. Grammarly is also very good with extra commas. I am not a fan of extra commas at all, and Grammarly will catch them where they do not belong. And I'm just going to give you this little tip. Most of the time when you think there's a comma, there's not. Okay? So keep that in mind. And if you've missed one, Grammarly will put it in for you. But just by default, use fewer commas in life. Okay? That's a little tip. You don't need Grammarly for that. That's from me to you. You can get through your emails and your work quicker by keeping it concise, confident, and effective with Grammarly. So here's how you get it. Go to grammarly.com/invest to sign up for a free account. And when you're ready to upgrade to Grammarly Premium, you'll get 20% off of that upgrade price. That's just for our listeners. So again, that's Grammarly, grammarly.com/invest.
All right, our thanks to Grammarly. Well, there's been quite a bit of hypocrisy to go around when you look at the crisis unfolding in Ukraine and the war that's unfolding, the invasion of the Russians into Ukraine. When we look at Israel, though, there's been Israel, the Palestinian conflict, there's United States conflicts. There's a whole lot of, hey, wait a bit, like whataboutism? Like what, yes. What about Israel? What about all of these other countries that do the same things as what's unfolding here in Ukraine? Why are we not placing sanctions? Why are we not going to great lengths to call upon these world leaders and NATO and others to step in and stop the atrocities? Just as an example, I mean, overnight, while everything was happening in Ukraine, this is just happening just a few minutes ago, breaking all eyes on Ukraine, Israel is dropping bombs on Syria's capital of Damascus in the middle of the night. This happening 3 a.m. today.
We all cool with that, guys?
We're good. We're all good with that.
Do you want to put a flag on your Twitter handle? Because that's also pretty unacceptable, wouldn't you say? Same thing. People are calling for boycotts of Israeli products and businesses because of Israelis' treatment of Palestine. This Palestine-Israeli conflict is the ultimate chicken or egg conflict, right? That goes back decades. And people are saying, well, if the United States is willing to throw its full sanction power against Russia, why wouldn't it do that with Israel? And that is a whole other can of worms, right? Is it ball of wax or can of worms? That's the
same thing.
That's That's a whole other can of worms, because are we really going to equate Palestine with Ukraine, right? Palestine has also been aggressors against Israel. Palestine has, has sort of doctrine saying Israel shouldn't exist. They are equal aggressors. You can make the argument that Russia hits back with a, I'm sorry, that Israel hits back with a bat because Palestine cannot. You could, right? I don't want to go there at this point, but it's one of those things where you truly cannot, you can't compare apples to oranges at this point. And it's just, it really truly is NATO and the United States choosing this war because they had to, because there's an agreement that they agreed to over 20 years ago. But it's really hard to justify when there is still so much conflict in the world.
I don't think we really care about our agreements. I think there's a little bit something more sinister involved, in my personal opinion, because there's no, you know what I mean? Like, we don't keep our agreements in most places. We just do what we want. So there has to be something monetarily that we're getting out of this. And I think Russia, you know, having a fear, having our bases pointed at Russia because we still feel like they're the Soviet Union and a huge threat.
And perhaps you're right. I mean, because think about the bulwark that is, you know, the Middle East problem for the United States, right? To have Israel be that bulwark against the terrorists in the Middle East, right? Israel is our shining beacon, right? That we can support and prop up with billions of dollars supporting.
Yes. Oh, yes.
Right?
Yeah.
So the Guardian piece, I'm just curious about the framing of this. We'll have a discussion about this, but here's the Guardian this morning saying U.S. accused of hypocrisy for supporting sanctions against Russia, but not Israel. Is it as simple as that? Can it be, you know, as simple as that? Critics compare Israeli military actions of Palestinian territories with Russian invasion of Ukraine, but pro-Israel groups dismiss allegations as false parallels.
What is your question? Is it as simple as
this headline?
As these are not, I don't think it is. I don't think it's as simple as comparing two different types of aggressors, right? Israel is aggressive in some places, and in other places, the argument is that Israel is defending itself against Palestine. And I think David's right. It's a pick and choose of battles at this point. Like, there's plenty we could and should be doing about China's aggression towards the Uyghurs, but we don't, because it affects us too heavily, right? And so we can rationalize that there's an agreement in 1994 that we asked Ukraine to give up its weapons in exchange for the promise of support, and that we are holding up our agreement. Sure, we can say that. There's plenty of other agreements that maybe we haven't held up in the past. Look at the agreements about Afghanis who supported the United States during the war, who were not able to be evacuated when we promised them that we would support them, right? Sure, we don't keep, the United States doesn't keep all of its promises.
But when we talk about humanitarian issues, this is the question, right? This is sort of the framing of this Guardian piece had to do with Secretary of State Blinken this week, when he on Tuesday of last week said, and he said at the UN Human Rights Council, I mean, he was there and he said, we need to send a resolute message to Vladimir Putin to stop an invasion that's destroyed schools, hospitals, residential buildings, and killed hundreds of civilians, he said. These are the human rights abuses this council was created to stop. If we cannot come together now, when will we come together? But then in the very same speech, Blinken went on and called ongoing human rights council investigations into Israel a stain on the council's credibility. So we can't investigate human rights abuses on part of the Israeli government, but we can do it on the part of the Russian government. Don't look at that.
I still want to know, how come nobody is talking about what we do? How come there's nobody talking about sanctioning the U.S.? It's like such hypocrisy that they don't point out all the atrocities that we do on a daily basis around the world. How do we get away with it with no other country pushing back on us?
I don't know. I mean,
rewind the tape. Just a couple of weeks ago, we had the Pentagon saying that we're going to make it more clear now when we kill civilians on accident. We're going to be more transparent about our reporting, and we're going to really try hard not to do that. That's why. They promised.
Right. We'll see. That's basically them saying, nothing to see here. So now that I said that, you guys can look away again.
Yeah, and civilians were killed in the most recent ISIS bombing.
The thing is, the United States doesn't even tell. We don't find out about it, right? Unless journalists happen to be there and push the question on the drone strike issue, for instance, right? How many hundreds of drone strikes did the U.S. carry out that we never knew about that targeted civilians?
Right.
We don't hear about those at all. Unless there happened to be a journalist there who managed to get it and uncover it, like we did in Afghanistan when we were leaving Afghanistan. But this just goes on under the dark of night. all of these places that we attack on a regular basis, we don't hear about. And it's these wars back home in the United States that the American people, they're kept away from it. It's like the sanitized war. So they don't touch it. They don't see it. They don't read about it. They don't care about it. It doesn't affect them.
Yeah.
And that's the bottom line. It doesn't affect them. If it started affecting Americans,
right,
you would, there'd be a huge hue and outcry, but it doesn't affect the average American. You know, what affects them right now, gas prices, you know, food prices, inflation, their job, how far does their Social Security check go? Those are the things that affect Americans.
Well, it does if they're parents of military kids, you know, like, because those kids are over there fighting these proxy wars and everything that, you know.
Or they're not. They're just using drones and we don't even hear about it.
Well, in a lot of cases, yeah.
Or we funnel billions of dollars like we're doing right now into Ukraine. But there's still kids flying those drones. So let's talk about this piece of this. And David, you brought it up earlier, which is this $10 billion, right? So, you know, we're funneling right now. We just agreed to funnel $10 billion to Ukraine. Now, the federal government, the United States government, has until Friday to get a $1.5 trillion budget together. So the government will keep on its lights. There seems to be some movement today that they are going to have an agreement in place by Wednesday. Some sticking points still, though, are money for COVID. Like, there's money in there that President Biden put in there, like $40 billion for COVID-related stuff. And Republicans are saying, not so fast. We want an accounting of the trillions that were already spent before you shovel $40 billion more into this thing. Good. I'm glad we have some accounting on that. But what's going to sail through without any issue is $10 billion for Ukraine. Now, just for a moment here, I know $10 billion doesn't sound like a lot now in the days of talking trillions, but when you think about the $10 billion that we just stole from the Afghanis, we seized their money, right? When we were leaving, we closed their banks down and we took $10 billion from them.
Well, the company line was, we don't know exactly what banking system to use to return it, so we're going to just hold it for now.
We're going to hold it and give you half back.
Because their banking system has imploded, and so we're going to keep it.
By the way, do we know that where this $10 billion will go to the Zelensky government? Like, we trust the Ukrainian government with this money? I mean, really? We're going to funnel $10 billion to them, and we know that it's going to go where? It's going to go to humanitarian issues?
Oh, who knows?
No, where is it going to go?
The ninth most corrupt government in the world. I mean, how many political favors are they buying?
Yes.
Right.
Ukraine is not... no country deserves to be invaded and taken over by a power that they do not want. So I think they have the right to fight for their sovereignty. Sure. But what are they fighting for was a government that already was fairly corrupt. I mean, think back to in 1995, Ukraine was so imploded that when Bill Clinton visited, he had to sleep in the presidential plane because they had no actual nice hotels. So it's like, I'm not saying that it's, you know, oh, it's a crap hole, it's not worth defending. No, it's actually become quite metropolitan in recent years, and it has pulled itself out of an identity crisis into a place that people actually, I feel like I'm making the wrong point here. Like, I don't want to say, help me out here. Do you know what I'm saying? I feel like I'm on the verge of saying something offensive and I don't want to. What I want to say is what I've learned
I would love through to my help reading. You. I don't okay. quite know how to.
Let me slow down so that I don't say something offensive. Is that the government
created... Why start now, by the way?
Okay. The government created, since the uprising of corrupt politicians within the last 5 years, still has a vein of corruption inside Ukraine, right? Most of the banks there are run by corrupt politicians or the mob. It is not necessarily this. And so you think about like defending the patriarchy, right? Defending a life that maybe should change anyway. That's what I'm going for. I don't think that any country should be attacked, but at the same time, you're thinking about, yes, what, like, how is that money? Do you trust that in the last 5 years it has become an upstanding place and that money will get to where it needs to go?
Let me draw the analogy to like the U.S. Wall Street, like, you know, Wall Street banking sector, too big to fail, right?
Right.
So we have this banking crisis. They're screwing over American people. They're writing all of these bad loans and Americans are, having to foreclose on these properties, right? And what does the U.S. government do? instead of like seeking prosecution against Wall Street for these predatory loans and everything else they were doing, what did they do? Instead, they funnel trillions of dollars to them. Like, here you go. Here's a little bit more. And in some ways, I feel like this is the same thing. So you're going to, one of the big criticisms, of course, of Ukraine is its constant shelling, its breaking of the Minsk agreements and continued shelling of the Donbas region, which killed thousands of innocent ethnic Russians living in that region. Okay, why didn't the U.S. step in years ago to say, hey, you're still killing these people. This was, you're breaking your agreement. Instead, we are rewarding that behavior, funneling $10 billion. And even just before we get into sort of like the moralizing about behavior, this is $10 billion of U.S. taxpayer money. Okay,
our money.
Our money. Mm-hmm. That's not going to help Americans right now. Americans who are feeling this incredible pinch of gas prices, heating oil prices across the United States, inflationary prices, rent going up significantly across the United States. You know, you're spending about an extra $300 a month right now simply because of inflation.
Yeah.
Where's that money? I just don't do it. You steal $10 billion from the Afghans after we bombed your country for 20 years, and then you're sending $10 billion to Ukraine, and meanwhile, the American people can't get, you know, a cost of living increase.
And it's just not that easy, right? Even when it comes to aid, we were talking to a friend this weekend who is a U.S. diplomat, and she was talking about how everyone in Europe is trying to collect like blankets and used clothes and stuff. And they're saying, oh, there's trucks driving it in to these areas in Poland where there are Ukrainian refugees. But it's not that easy to cross borders with supplies that way. So who's doing this? And is there a system in place? And who's there to distribute that? And there was so much, what was in Haiti, when all of that aid was sent into Haiti, so much of it was thrown away because there is not the infrastructure for this. So it is just not that easy.
Yeah, they're like, please stop sending us your coats. Please don't do it. I know it makes, you know, makes all these woke people feel good, like they're donating coats and supplies and everything, when people aren't even asking the question, like, how is this getting distributed? Like, is it even making it there at all? It's not.
Well,
it's
and also remember,
burned.
Yeah.
As we pointed out last week, there's art, like, we found secret labs already that the United States is doing stuff. So who knows? Like, we might be doing things out of the purview of the you know, the laws of the United States. We don't know. Like, there's a bunch of secret things that could be going on there. And we're like, hey, there's no U.S. laws there. We just give them some money. They look the other way. We can pretty much do what we want. So we might have a country there that we're like able to, you know, do things outside of the law. And if they're already labs that we found, then we already know what's happening.
Yeah, it's already happening. 15 different labs that we featured here on the show last week, 15 different bio labs that are in this country funded by the United States government. And the American people don't even know about it. I mean, it's not even something that's talked about. How much money and missiles we've already sent to this country.
Yeah.
So again, $10 billion flowing in there.
You don't have to look much further than Hunter Biden to find the corruption, because he was making money from a company that Biden was helping as well, right, and had no experience whatsoever. And that was like the tune of like 80 to 100 grand a month for somebody who had
so
no knowledge.
So access. We know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's only access. So we know that there's corruption already at the highest levels in this country. So what's to make us think that it doesn't extend past that?
I saw someone on social media this weekend saying, you know, I don't want to send my used coats or my kids' shoes or whatever. So what they did was they went to Airbnb and booked an Airbnb in Kiev that they don't intend to stay in, and just said, you know, I'm sure you're not getting any guests because of the war. So how about, and the owner wrote back and said, actually, we're housing other refugees. So thanks for like paying the rent, you know, for this week. So there are ways you can choose to target your money, but just like sending your crappy stuff may or may not
winds up on the beaches in Africa. I mean, we've seen those reports. We featured it in our newsletter. You know, you go and buy your crappy old Navy clothes that break down after three washes anyway. And then it winds up in landfills and gets, you know, floats up on the beaches of Africa. So,
yeah. Well, you know what's sad is nobody's going to do that for all the Russians that are losing money right now.
Yeah, I thought I had the same thought. Like, what about people in nearby Russian border towns that, you know, Like, if we're really choosing people, right? People are getting hurt that have nothing to do with this conflict.
Yeah, I mean, and it's, you know, the focus has been on the oligarchs, the Russian billionaires and their yachts and their super yachts, to which the Biden administration is even largely not, like, ignoring a lot of the Russian oligarchs because of the money. It's like, wait a minute. So you talk a big game, but you won't go after these billionaires. And who gets really hurt in all of this? It's the Russian people. It's the people that go to work and trying to provide for their families who now can't use Apple Pay or Google Pay or, you know, can't just, like, Netflix pulled up shop. So yeah. Netflix is now not going to stream any shows in Russia. Okay. Who does that hurt? Does that hurt Putin?
Like, is no, that none really, of this no, does. No. Even, like, no. when they pulled... the kids from being able to participate in sports and stuff, that's hurting the kids. It doesn't do nothing to Putin. It doesn't do anything to Putin. I think I need Grammarly right now.
If anything, Netflix would actually be helping people right now who are holed up right now, just worried about their lives. It's one little bit of escapism, right? That they could watch some Netflix while this thing is being carried out in their country. Anyway.
Well, Dustin Whaling in our chat said, if all of these, you know, bans continue, like Facebook ban on McDonald's, ban on TikTok, then all of a sudden Russia is the healthiest place in the world. Right. It's like, actually, can I go there?
Yeah, they have no social media. It's all local food. They can't eat McDonald's anymore. It's like this war is actually making the Russian people healthier somehow.
Interesting.
In an inadvertent way. Before we move on, I want to remind everyone, please subscribe to the show. How many folks are new to the channel? We do this show live every morning at 9 a.m. Eastern time, covering the stories that you won't see here. We won't see in the mainstream media largely. We try to give you a different viewpoints that you're not going to see because we are not backed by billionaires who are pushing a particular narrative like CNN or MSNBC or any of the big mainstream media news organizations. So please hit that subscribe button. We are here live every morning at 9 a.m. Eastern time. But we've got more news to get to. We're going to talk about the propaganda and what's trending before we get you out of here. The propaganda, and you're going to wait till you see some of these stories that the mainstream media have been using to try to get you morally to kind of come to the assistance of Ukraine or try to drive this narrative. We'll get there in just a second. But first, I want to tell you about our friends.
We have lots of friends. He's got to scroll through his little black book before he tells you.
Friends. Oh, I'm super excited about this. So I want to tell you about our friends over at Cuts Clothing. So Cuts Clothing, they do an amazing job of creating. First of all, they've, like, taken the whole T-shirt, you know, the idea of, like, having a T-shirt. And they said, you know what, we're going to redesign the T-shirt, which is like, how in the world are you going to redesign the T-shirt? Well, they've done it. They've done an amazing job of redesigning a T-shirt and making it look fantastic. They've created what they're calling the Crew Curve Hem. So it has, like, a rounded bottom to it. And I just want to show you exactly what this looks like here, if I can pull this up on my screen. And it looks fantastic and super, super comfortable, where they've decided they're going to make these materials with care, where they're going to last for a very, very long time. And we've already got a lot of stuff on our minds, right? The last thing we want to do is be spending too much energy on what to wear. Cuts Clothing has perfected the art and science of men's shirts, so you can throw one on and look great without ever thinking twice about it. Every Cuts shirt is designed for a modern, tailored fit, and they're insanely comfortable. And look at their hoodie, their classic hoodie, by the way. It looks fantastic and is really, really soft. So you can stop bouncing between brands and shopping all different stores. Just go to Cuts. Cuts Clothing is fantastic. My favorite Cuts Clothing is the hoodie classic. I love it. Super soft, very durable, and it doesn't shrink up on you. It doesn't fade. It's really, really great. They've even developed their own fabric.
There's a YouTuber that I follow named David Manning, and he's a pretty big channel, and he threw away all his clothes and only wears Cuts now because of the way they fit and how soft they are. He's like, that's the only thing he wears.
I love it. Yeah, I mean, it's like you realize once you buy all this, like with some of the stuff we've been talking about, like the donations going into Ukraine and some of the clothing and stuff that's like, you know, the stuff that people buy, like the crappy mall clothing and stuff that like breaks down after three times you wear it. Not with this. That's how, you know, Cuts is totally different. They've totally revolutionized the traditional outdated T-shirt category. They make it easy to mix and match styles and colors. They even developed, as I said, their own fabric that stands the test of time. Their patented fabric won't shrink, it won't pill up, it won't fade over time in the wash. Plus, it's insanely soft. I absolutely love it. Join the hundreds of thousands of guys who've made the simple decision to elevate their wardrobe with Cuts. Get 15% off your first order by going to cutsclothing.com/invest. It's Cuts Clothing, that's C-U-T-S, clothing.com/invest for 15% off, the only shirt worth wearing. Our thanks to Cuts Clothing and my favorite t-shirts and hoodies right here on Morning Invest. So our thanks to them for supporting the show.
All right. Well, we just want to talk a little bit more about this information that's coming out about Ukraine, because I think it's increasingly dangerous to oversimplify things and make one side a hero and one side a victim. It does not seem that truth would pan out, that either side are truly those things, just like human nature is very complicated. So you may recall last week there was social media running around saying that the United States had offered to evacuate Russian President Zelensky. And in his response, he said, "No, thank you. I need ammo, not a ride." Well, when looking for the source of this quote, it seems that no one can actually verify it. The quote is being attributed to an anonymous U.S. source, and there has been no actual date or event attributed to the quote, which makes some people think, now, sure, he may have said it. He seems to be desperately taking media interviews, telling the world what is going on and what he thinks his country needs. We can verify those because he's there, right? He's out there on social media a lot. He's speaking to the media. He's speaking to senators. He's having plenty of Zoom calls. The internet apparently works just fine at this point. But this quote, because there's
among
no
others,
because there's no source to it, makes it seem like this is United States propaganda.
Well, and there's plenty of evidence of this, too, as the Information Liberation points out. I mean, they believe that this quote was put out there by U.S. intel officials. You know, here's how you prop up this guy. And there's plenty of evidence, actually. There's a barrel of evidence about this. But that didn't stop a lot of people from, like, jumping right on this to say, that's the greatest thing ever. Like this one, Arsen Ostrovsky, who's a verified Twitter user, of course, says, "I need ammo, not a ride," may well go down in the annals of history as one of the greatest wartime quotes, Zelensky. Also, Zelensky is spelled wrong here. And also, this photo we debunked last week, remember we showed you this photo was from 3 years ago when he was visiting troops. So not only is the quote wrong, the photo is out of date and it's not current. In addition, here's more. Here's more U.S. excitement about this. And remember the Russian warship story?
Yes.
Which, of course, was the Snake Island story. Well, that ended up falling apart last week, ended up being fake. The 13 soldiers who, hey, who are you? You're a Russian warship? Off the coast of Snake Island, where 13 soldiers here from the Ukraine, well, go F yourself. And then they got killed. No, it turns out that didn't happen, and they're safe and sound, and they're not, they weren't captured.
And there was like
the
85,
Russians.
Not 13.
Yeah, and they were fine. Nothing happened. And the "I need ammunition, not a ride" quote is all fake. And he's, you know, Jim Scoyotto says, you know, these are quite rallying cries to fight an invading army. Of course, that's where these things come from. But the list goes on. Snake Island was a hoax. The ghost of Kiev was a hoax. The first claims that Russians attacked the Chernobyl nuclear power plant, as we pointed out here on this show, and were trying to trigger a nuclear meltdown, was a hoax. And the second claim of a nuclear power plant attack was also a hoax and was leaking radiation. Zelensky lied about that. The claim that Russian attacked a Holocaust memorial, also a hoax. And "I need ammo, not a ride," was propaganda put out by U.S. intelligence sources. It makes sense, right? I mean, so far, the only name for this, the only evidence for this line is an unnamed U.S. official.
Yeah.
Mysterious. It's funny, too, that the U.S. like ran with this story, right? The U.S., the AP, the Associated Press, here was the first time it appeared, was in an Associated Press article on February 26th, right? Live updates. Zelensky declines U.S. offer to evacuate. This was an AP story that printed this initially.
So I guess, you know, what we're saying is that, again, it's dangerous at this point to just choose black hats and white hats. And it's interesting to see, yes, again, there are a lot of heroic stories about Ukrainians defending their nation, but are we getting the full picture? And is it an oversimplified picture?
And it's one of those things, again, where it's kind of like the facing clear evidence of peril, we cannot wait for the final proof, the smoking gun that could come in the form of a mushroom cloud. You know, like somebody came up with that phrase and was like, this is really going to get people behind this war. And they're trying to paint Zelensky as this hero figure, like a John Wayne type Patton kind of guy, and just make him like really tough against this threat. But it's like, this is propaganda 101.
Well, and the beauty of this, the way that this works is this stuff gets floated out there and that's what people hear. They're not going to hear. Remember, like, what is the saying, right? A lie goes all the way around the world before truth has a chance to put on its pants, right? Yeah. And so most Americans are going to, they're going to read this on Facebook. They're going to say to their friends, oh my God, you see the Zelensky guy? That's the hero we need. He said, I don't need a ride. I need ammunition, right? Yeah. They're not going to hear that it was debunked. They're not watching our show. They're not going to see that it was debunked. The media is not going to talk about it because they have egg on their face. And so it'll just go, all these things will just float along and no one will actually know the difference. Like, it's very easy to say.
Well, he could say it now and make it true. Just speak it out loud and then it's true.
I mean, like, look at this. Here's, you know, this again, all these explosions and attacks, right? Breaking as Russia's Putin announces a military operation in Ukraine. Ukrainian interior minister confirms that this is the capital, Kiev, is under attack, right? Well, turns out, no, that's not the case. This photo, again, these explosions, that's actually from Israel attacking targets. like these photos, like a lot of the stuff is just reused, regurgitated garbage that the media is putting out there. And Americans and other people are just going to go along with it because they're not going to challenge it. They're not going to look into it. They're not going to look in the veracity of this stuff.
Well, and the media knows that. Like you'll never go and you don't get notified when they go into an article and it's like, update, this was proven false. Like, they'll go update it like months later, change the title or something. But who goes back and checks that?
No, yeah. No one.
All right, guys, let's move off of the war, shall we? We're going to tell you what's trending before we get you out of here. These are the things that are trending on the internet, and we welcome your comments about them. Dolly Parton is trending. The singer, actress, businesswoman, extraordinaire, angel, hero. She has a new book coming out, co-written by James Patterson, proving that there's nothing she can't do. Kind of amazing to think that she has the same 24 hours in her life. Did you know that she wrote Jolene and I Will Always Love You in the same 24 hours?
Really?
And what do I do with a 24-hour day? That is a profitable day. Yeah.
Yeah.
She's amazing. Okay. Court of Owls is trending because people very much want these villains in the next Batman movie. Huh. Is it Court of Owl just that dude and then he's got like an entourage? I don't know what they are. Do you?
You know what? Sadly, as much of a Batman fan as I am, I don't know this group. Grimm, anyone in the chat know Court of Owls? This is not a storyline that I ever read in Detective Comics or Batman. So I don't know, actually.
They look too creepy. I say no. Okay. Hashtag fake the Batman facts is trending. This is a fun thing online where people just say fake things about Batman. Like, he only eats Batman cake. Go through a couple of the other ones. Daniel Craig was considered. That's false. He was not. This is the one that you really can offend superheroes fans with. If you say Batman can fly, he cannot.
Yeah.
Is there one more?
Oh yeah.
Okay.
One. He can in a jet. So I don't know. Like,
he can. Yes, he can't. His body fly. Right. Yeah, he
well, his body's in the plane. So.
Okay. Well, then I can fly too. So.
And his parents are still alive and Superman is his twin brother. That's not true.
No, it's not. So the Batman is estimated to have grossed $128.5 billion in North America this weekend. That's the best opening of 2022, although we're only in March. And the second best opening since the pandemic. It is behind, any guesses?
Spider-Man,
No Way Home, which made $260 million in its opening weekend and still going strong, making money that way.
I saw it. It was really good. My friend Jesse just saw it. He said he loved it too.
So. Did you see it, David?
No, I haven't been able to find anybody to go with me.
Aww. Oh.
Okay. Well, it's one of those movies you could go see by yourself because it's like kind of a loner.
Well, movie. I'm going to, but I just got to find the time to go by myself now.
Philip, what's going on, man? You can't...
Yeah, your brother's right here.
I mean, there's
just like show tunes.
I'm a Marvel fanboy. I'm an elitist. I'll usually watch DC when it comes out at my home so I can watch it.
When it comes out on VHS?
Yeah, when it comes out on
VHS. Your brother needs you.
Yes. This is the brother you need right now.
This is brotherly bonding opportunity, you guys.
I may be the brother he needs, but am I the brother he deserves?
Your hands can meet in a barrel of popcorn.
Okay. Johnny Brown is trending. He was a Good Times actor. He died at the age of 84 recently.
Good Times. And finally, I remember that show.
Yeah. Marco Rubio and hashtag Marco Rubles are trending because Rubio and another U.S. Senator, Steve Daines, tweeted pictures from a video call with President Zelensky after Ukraine asked them not to do that. That's that one.
Yeah, he's like, hey, I'm currently hanging out in a room with President Zelensky. I'm on a Zoom call.
I feel
call.
Like that's name dropping at this point.
On a Zoom call now with President.
Like, who's going to be like, oh, good, you're going to solve something. Good on you two. So, well,
didn't Zelensky, like, call him out by name during that? Or
I don't know if he called him out by name. Somebody, there was 300 people on this call. And somebody from Zelensky's team apparently said, hey, let's not make any, you know, social media posts about this. But Rubio says that happened 30 minutes into the call when this person said, don't make any social media posts about it. But obviously they were doing it. The reason they didn't want them to do that is because they didn't want his location found out. You know, they don't want, like,
yeah,
if they know where he is at any given moment, that's the opening for him
to
be
attacked.
It's a
pretty nondescript backdrop, though. So yeah. He could have put, like, I don't know, a funner backdrop on if it was really Zoom, like a carnival.
He could have been, yeah, like on a beach or something, like with a cat.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Or had a cat face if he was.
Yeah, really, I was going to say he could have been the cat.
Right.
Right.
All right. That's all we got for you today, you guys. Thank you so much for joining us, and we will see you tomorrow.
Yes. Before we go, I want to tell you about our friends over at Moomoo, because they have a special promotion happening right now. They're giving away 5 stocks. This is a new promotion just for our listeners today. And they're giving away a special stock as well. So let me pull this up here. Let me show you about our friends. If I can get my notes up in front of me. Do this a lot, and I'm sorry.
Hold, please.
We'll forgive you this time.
You can start trading anytime, anywhere using Moomoo, but they're giving away 5 free stocks right now for signing up, plus an NIO stock as well, just for signing up, which is pretty awesome stuff, guys. I mean, this is a new exclusive promotion just for our audience. So if you go to morninginvest.com right here on your screen, morninginvest.com/Moomoo, to sign up today, get signed. Again, just opening your account gets you free stocks. And then when you make your initial deposit, on top of that, you're getting additional stocks. And they're giving away this bonus stock of NIO as well, which is game changer, amazing sign-up bonus. This is probably the biggest sign-up bonus I've ever seen for a trading platform. Take advantage of this right now to get started, because you can trade crypto, you can trade regular stocks, all right in the Moomoo platform. Start trading anytime, anywhere with 0 commission trades. You can do all of that with their better trading experience. Go to morninginvest.com/Moomoo today. You can enjoy high volume trading, better execution price when free level 2 market data. Plus, if you're new to trading, I had some people write me over the weekend, say, hey, I want to start learning how to do this. Well, here's what you do. See right here on the website, if you go to morninginvest.com/Moomoo, click on lessons and library. They have courses available so you can learn. Click on lessons and start to study everything you need to know about investing. Just start getting started right now from the very basics, all the way up to fundamental analysis and how to start even trading options, all of that stuff. Just spend a little time on the weekend. If you've got a few extra hours here and there, don't waste it just, you know, chilling out on Netflix or other stuff. Improve yourself, improve your financial literacy, and learn how to do that. Go to morninginvest.com/Moomoo today in order to get those free stocks and start learning how to trade.
All right.
We got some super chats really quick.
Okay.
So Lena Butterfly, celebrating my birthday with the Invest crew. Hey, y'all. Happy birthday.
Hey, happy birthday.
Happy birthday.
Thank you for spending your morning with us. I hope we set you off on the right foot.
Dark Matter Wolf, best show in the morning.
Thank you.
Thank you so much.
Ed, no doubt USA is making big bucks out of this war.
Of course they are. I mean, they're funneling $400 billion into the defense contractors. So of course, you know, this all comes back to them. It's all part of one.
If we don't make money, we don't bother.
Exactly. Yeah.
Like, we wouldn't have made money in the Congo. We were like, no, we're not doing anything.
That's it? Oh.
None of your business. I'm not saying that to you. I'm saying that's the name of the username of the person. How to restart a nuclear plant safer, really? One terrorist could destroy a whole area of the world. And they spelled it right, nuclear. I was just kidding. Ed, again, why do we send aid to Israel, including our weapons and other things, instead of selling it to them? Israel is a wealthy country and they can afford it.
Yeah, it was even in the stimulus bill. We gave them money in the stimulus bill for war materials.
I mean, and you have
in the COVID stimulus
bill. I mean, you have President Biden who's flying to Saudi Arabia. They have literally created the worst humanitarian crisis in Yemen in the world right now. And like, we're going to Saudi Arabia like as friends. Like, hey, can we, you know, have some oil. Like, again, these countries that walk all over other countries. I mean, the hypocrisy is just massive.
Stumbledore said, we, USA politics, do a lot that makes no sense. We, the people, just need to trust them, though, right?
Right. That's sarcasm that I picked up. I picked up your sarcasm.
Stumbledore. I like that name.
I do, too.
Grimskull, the Court of Owls is an organized crime group and secret society made up of wealthy Gothamites.
Okay. Cool. And Grim, do you like the idea of them as a villain? I'm just wondering.
And that's it. That's the last Super Chat.
All right. We'll discuss that tomorrow. Thank you guys for joining us. And we'll be here tomorrow. Remember, subscribe to the newsletter, morninginvest.com. And hit that subscribe button if you haven't already here on YouTube.
Yep. We'll see you tomorrow, everyone.
Bye then.
Bye now.